Let the church say amen. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Let us not forget that. Let us be thankful to God. You know, you didn't have to get up this morning. Neither did I. But God has seen fit to leave us here to have one more opportunity to serve Him in spirit and in truth. And if we get another opportunity next week, you ought to be here again. Let us continue to be in thankfulness mode for God. This morning we're going to talk about a subject that I've talked about before, but nevertheless we all need it, and that's rest for God's people. Before we go any further, let us take a few moments and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our blessed Father, maker and creator of all things and everything in and upon this earth, we thank You, O Lord, for blessing us, and we thank You for continuing to bless us. We thank You for this day in which we've never seen in our lives before. We've seen some like it, but we've never seen this one. And we thank You, O Heavenly Father, for let us seeing a bright, sunny day. Father, we thank You for Your weather, however You send it to us. We are just eternally grateful. I thank You, O Heavenly Father, for my personal life, and I pray and ask that You continue to bless myself as well as all of the others under the sound of my voice, and even those who may not be with us, Father, continue to bless them. Father, we pray for our leadership in the congregation. We pray for their families. We pray for the men who have taken part in the services thus far and their families as well. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that we have been blessed once again. And Father, we continue to pray and ask You that You keep holding up, that You keep allowing us to hold up the bloodstained banner of Christ. Father, when all is said and all has been done, when we have walked the last mile of the way, we pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, to give us a home with Thee in the heavenly kingdom of heaven. Thank You for everything, O Lord. It is in Your Son Jesus' name that we thank You and ask it all. Amen. Most people, when they hear the word rest, their minds almost always turn to time of peace, quiet time, and even nap time. The rest referred to in our text of Hebrew 4 and verse 9 is the kind that we as children of God can enjoy. You might say it is kind of like a quiet in the middle of a storm. Everyone can understand the concept of rest, but the way to this rest comes through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must do a few things in order to receive this rest. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse number 9 once again. The Bible says, therefore, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So first thing we must do is establish a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing more important than establishing a relationship with Jesus. So the question becomes, how does one form this relationship? Well, the Bible will never leave us without pointing us in the right direction to get to Christ, to get to the church, the right church, nor how to get to heaven. We have but to look in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Turn with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. In Matthew 11 and verse number 28, watch the Bible, what it says here. In Matthew 11 and verse number 28, the Bible says, this is Jesus issuing an invitation to all of us. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a rest. Come unto me, all ye. So He tells us in this text how. He said, come unto me. Who? All ye that are labor and are and I will give you rest. That's the outcome. Jesus is offering us a how-to of forming a relationship with Him. He offers, but it's up to us to accept. If we accept, we must be willing to accept change. In other words, with this relationship comes something else that we must do that we'll talk about in a minute. So you see, one can be in a relationship with God, but at the same time, not be in harmony with God. Two people can be in a relationship, but not be together in harmony. Or in other words, they are not living in harmony. Let me give you a couple of examples, a couple of biblical examples. In Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38, go over there with me if you will. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38, and watch the Bible what it says. Luke 10 and verse number 38, the Bible says, And now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And number 39 also, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And he bid her therefore that she help me. You see, we have two sisters here with Jesus in their company, or they're in the company of Jesus. Here we have these two sisters, and they remind me sometime of the people in the church of Christ. They remind me that somebody has always got something to complain about. They don't recognize me enough for what I do around here. Well, just shut up and keep doing what you do. Let God recognize you. So when I think about it, at this moment, they were not in harmony. They were not in connection with each other. How many times has this happened? But for the most part, I'll admit, it's the men who bring it up the most often, not the women. The men always have something to complain about. And sometimes we have to quit complaining and just stay busy. We've got to learn to keep quiet. And the Lord knows what you do. And let Him give you the glory for it. Let God give you your props for it and not mankind. This is what Jesus told Martha in verse number 42 and verse number 43. Look at 42. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, continue to serve the Lord, even if it seems as though you're not being appreciated for it. Let God give you the credit, and let me as man just continue on in my way. It's all about serving the Lord anyway, not who does the most or not who does the least. Another example of a relationship without harmony can be found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4, watch the Bible. Look what the Bible says in Revelation 2 and 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now you'd have to pick up on verses 1, 2, and 3 prior to 4. Because in verses number 2, look at verse number 2. Let's just go back and go over it. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. All that was good. Jesus was giving them their dues. But look at verse number 4 again. But nevertheless, he said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Church, they had a relationship with Jesus, but they were not following through with Him. They were not in harmony, in other words. So I say to you this morning, don't become involved in simply a relationship with Jesus. Stay in harmony with Jesus. In that relationship, you must stay the course. And sometimes, Sometimes it's difficult to stay the course. I understand that. You understand that. We all understand that. That's why sometimes you need the rest of God. God will give you rest. And you know what it's like? It seems as though as we get older, more and more things start to break down in these old bodies. If you're living in a body that seems 10 years older than it really is by the numerics, you need to ask God to give you rest. If every time you go to the doctor tells you, I need to cut this off or cut that out, you need to ask the doctor, is it necessary? You need to ask God to give you rest from the storms of life. You need to ask God to continue to give you the peace of His blessings of rest. Then after you enter into this relationship, you must stay in fellowship with Jesus. We've established a relationship, but we must stay in fellowship also. We must enter into a prayer life, a life of prayer, as the writer of Philippians 4 and verse number 6 teaches us. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Learn to speak to God. No matter how much better you think you can handle whatever is going on with you, learn to let God handle it. You can handle whatever you think you can handle, but God can handle it better. Just in the Bible class this morning, we talked about, it was in the lesson about God is from knows the beginning, the end from its beginning. God knows all about everything about us. When you think about it, it's good to know God. It's good to form that relationship with God, and it's good to stay in fellowship with God. So if you think that you can handle it better, talk to God about it anyway. Let God put you on the right track. We must enter into the Word of God. I'll give you two reasons why we need to open our Bibles, and both of them can be found in the 119th division of Psalm. The psalmist said, it is my meditation in Psalms 119 and 97. He said, it's my meditation all the day. Then in 105, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let the word of God show you the right path to follow. Thank God for the Bible, for without the Bible, I ask the question often, where would we be if it were not for the Bible? We would have no way of knowing right from wrong. We would not know that heaven is far better than hell. Nor would we know how Jesus brought the gospel to save us. Nor would we know about the church of Christ. We would be blind like so many others are. And when it comes to the church, we would think it's okay if we could just go out, get a building, throw up a sign, put our name on it as founder, and call it anything we wanted to. But thanks be to God, the Bible has already told us of whom the builder of the church is. Matthew 16 and 18. He has already told us, the Bible has already told us how it was paid for in Acts 20 and 28 with His own blood, how that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Most importantly of all, we would not know that we have a choice in life that can save us in death. Do you know that you have a choice while you are living to make? You can choose heaven as your home, or you can choose hell. Now, if you choose heaven, you'll learn to do right. You'll learn to follow the Word of God and follow His commandments. If you do wrong, if you choose hell as your home, you'll just go through life living an evil life and not following God. But I say this morning, I thank God for the Bible and the power of the Bible. You know, just when I get so fed up with things and life starts throwing me all the curveballs that it can, and I think that I'm done with it, I say to myself, Lord, You are able. Lord, You are wonderful. Lord, You are great. And I know I'm not the only one that share troubles in this life. All of us have something on our plate. Some of our plates are fuller than others, but all of us have something going on in our lives. That's why you need to form this relationship and stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ. You know, once you have formed this relationship and once you have continued in this relationship, within this fellowship with Jesus, you must learn to surrender to Jesus. The text speaks of rest for God's people. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 9 again. Chapter 4 and verse number 9 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." There remaineth a rest. You know, even God Himself, look at verse number 4. "And God Himself, He spake in a certain place, for He spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest on the seventh day from all His works." Everybody needs a little rest every now and then. Everybody needs a little downtime every now and then. You know something? Some of us need a little bit more downtime than others. Because as our bodies age, they start to wear on us and we get tired a little more frequently. And we start to move a little slower. We start to see a little dim. Our eyes become a little dimmer. Ecclesiastics talk about the eyes becoming, the blinders not working as well as they should. And the teeth, or the grinders, if you will, are not the same anymore. Life changes us. And I'm a living witness to that. Thank God for that. Life changes us. Life changes for us and to us. But when I think about it, it tells us this rest is directed toward the people of God. That eliminates those who are not His people. What about non-believers? Well, John 3 and 36 spoke of that. "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now just think about that for a moment, church. Won't it be awful to live our entire lives not believing on God, and then we die expecting that same God who we didn't believe in while we were living, but expecting Him to give us eternal rest? Do you remember Saul, who did not believe on Jesus until he met Jesus in Acts chapter 9? There's no guarantee that we will have a second chance like Saul. So we need to not only get right now, but we need to also stay right with God. And I understand what a difficult life can be sometimes, trying to follow and stay the course of God, being with God, being believing on God. But you know something? Life has never promised you to be a bowl of roses. Life never did promise you that it would be so easy. But I thank God that He is there for us. Because every time you get you need rest, you can go to God and find this rest if you are a believer on Him. There's a state of mind in many today that says, "I don't have time for Him right now." Yet how often have you taken the time out from your so-called busy schedules and your busy lives? When your car breaks down, you have to rush and take it to the mechanic shop. Isn't that right? How many times have you said, I don't have time to get a checkup, but yet when we get sick, we rush to the doctor's office? Well, I'm a firm believer that taking time for God is far more important than anything else in this life that we can do. We must take time to go to the Word of God. Take time to go to the Church of Christ. Take time to ask God to give you rest. All one needs to do is to turn to God and trust in God to become a believer. Follow Him. Let Him rule your thoughts as well as your actions. The rest of God, that rest that is being spoken about in there, is the rest that would get us through life's toils and strife. It becomes a victory against the world and its problems. We all get tired of battling life's storms. As people of God, He will get us through them if we just seek His rest. You know, and when you think about it, how wonderful it is to rest from your labors. How wonderful it is to be able to, after a long, hard day's work, many of us look forward to coming home, pulling off our shoes, and some of us even order up, as I said before, a beer from the refrigerator. But it's good to be able to just come home, sit down, and relax with God in the plan. When you think about it, and I know as far as I'm concerned, at least anyway, life without the Lord is not very restful, because you're always wary or you're always on the move. You're always thinking of something I must do, something I need to do, something I must do in a hurry, because your life is a hurried world. You live in a hurried world in this lifetime. You notice nobody has time to speak to one another anymore. Nobody has time to be courteous while they're driving down the street anymore. Nobody has time anymore to just be courteous and respectful to one another. Instead, they seem to be in a rush world. They can't wait. And sometimes they can't wait for destruction, it seems. But I tell you something, church. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So the question this morning becomes this. Are you a person of God? Do you have therefore that rest that the Bible speaks of in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 9? Look at verse number 10 just for one moment though. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. I told you in verse number 4, it says that God rested. So we need rest. And there's a debate, a kind of a debate going on with the medical field, right in the scientific field right now. Some say you need 8 hours of sleep. Some say you need 6 hours of sleep. And there are even some who say, well, you can get by on 4 hours of sleep. Well, all I know is this. When I lay my body down at night, just like you lay your body down at night, the first thing before you lay that body down, you ought to go to God in prayer. Ask Him to watch over you. Ask Him to keep you through the night. Ask Him to keep you safe. Ask Him to keep you secured. And ask Him to keep you comforted throughout the night. Because whether you get 8 hours, 6 hours, or 4 hours of sleep, you need somebody to watch over you during the nighttime hours. When you are asleep, you can't help yourself. But yet, there are folk who can lay down, put themselves in bed and then lay down and be at a peace with themselves, or so they think, without consulting God about it. So when the toils and the strife of this life brings you problems, we've got to go to God for a rest. We must always be careful not to fall into unbelief, because we can lose the rest of God. I think that as we get older, the more we can appreciate the rest of God. I think that as we get older, the more that we rest and ask God to give us this rest that He speaks about in 4:9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I think the older we get, the more we can appreciate God's will in our lives. I know I can. The older we get, the more we realize that without God, I'm nothing. Without God, I have no love to give, not the kind of love that I give to my brothers and my sisters. And I'll tell you again, I love you all. I don't always like everything some of you do, but I still love you. I don't always appreciate everything you do, but I still love you. And that's just the way the Lord treats us. He still loves us in spite of what we are. He died for us while we were yet in sin. And He can give us rest if we but just go to Him. And I know that I understand I got just a minute or two left. I know that there is something on everyone's mind this morning. I don't know what it is, but I bet there's something on everybody's mind in here this morning. And whatever is on your mind, why don't you just turn it over to God if it's causing you unrest, that you may get the rest of God, or that you may get the rest from God. Now, I understand that when we live in this life, the problems are going to come. Just like the rains come, problems are going to rain down upon some of us. Problems are going to be heavy in some of our lives. But still, you can get rest from God. Therefore, remains a rest for the people of God. So I say to you this morning, go to God with whatever it is. If you got problems that you can't seem to handle, go to God. If you got a problem that you can seem to handle, go to God about it. What did the Philippian writer say? Pray about everything. In supplication and prayer, go to God with it. You know, we as Christians need to live a prayerful life. And I know some of us just pray when things come up. But we ought to be praying all the time, not just sometime. Some of us pray when the rain falls, let's say. But you need to pray even when the sun is out. You need to just pray all the time. And so the question becomes, how do I get this rest in God? Well, you have to come to God first. You have to come to the Lord first. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if a long time ago you walked that path, you came down the aisle of somebody's church and you went to the baptismal pool, and I speak of the Church of Christ, you came to down the aisle of somebody's Church of Christ and you went to the baptismal pool, but some kind of way your life has gone astray. And I tell you something about life going astray. It's easy sometimes. But anyway, you went astray and you need to ask yourself, are you ready to come back to God? Go to God, ask Him to forgive you, then come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you that you may gather strength and be content and continue on in believing on God. This is your desire as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.